Today is the 20th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we carry forward on the journey that we are on, this journey that leads us through a year and through the Bible. I'm grateful that we can spend some time together today, continuing to work our way through the book of 1 Samuel and the intertwining and enmeshment of King Saul and David's life. Today, chapters 26, 27, and 28. The Ziphites went to Saul at Gibeah and said, "Is not David hiding on the hill of Hakkelah, which faces Jeshimon?" So Saul went down to the desert of Ziph with his 3,000 selected Israelite troops to search there for David. Saul made his camp beside the road of the hill of Hakkelah, facing Jeshimon, but David stayed in the wilderness. When he saw that Saul had followed him there, he sent out scouts and learned that Saul had definitely arrived. Then David set out and went to the place where Saul had camped. He saw where Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the commander of the army, had lain down. Saul was laying inside the camp with the army encamped around him. David then asked Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai, son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, "Who will go down into the camp with me to Saul?" "I'll go with you," said Abishai. So David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there was Saul lying asleep inside the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. Abishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't strike him twice." But David said to Abishai, "Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" "As surely as the Lord lives," he said, "the Lord himself will strike him, or his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and water jug that are near his head and let's go." So David took the spear and water jug near Saul's head and they left. No one saw or knew about it, nor did anyone wake up. They were all sleeping because the Lord had put them into a deep sleep. Then David crossed over to the other side and stood on top of the hill some distance away. There was a wide space between them. He called out to the army and to Abner, son of Ner, "Aren't you going to answer me, Abner?" Abner replied, "Who are you who calls to the king?" David said, "You're a man, aren't you? And who is like you in Israel? Why didn't you guard your lord the king? Someone came to destroy your lord the king. What you have done is not good. As surely as the Lord lives, you and your men must die, because you did not guard your master, the Lord's anointed. Look around you. Where are the king's spear and water jug that were near his head?" Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" David replied, "Yes, it is, my lord, the king." And he added, "Why is my lord pursuing his servant? What have I done, and what wrong am I guilty of? Now let my lord, the king, listen to his servant's words. If the Lord has incited you against me, then may he accept an offering. If, however, people have done it, may they be cursed before the Lord. They have driven me today from my share in the Lord's inheritance and have said, 'Go serve other gods.' Now do not let my blood fall to the ground far from the presence of the Lord. The king of Israel has come out to look for a flea, as one hunts a partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Come back, David, my son. Because you considered my life precious today, I will not try to harm you again. surely I have acted like a fool and have been terribly wrong. Here is the king's spear, David answered. Let one of your young men come over and get it. The Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and faithfulness. The Lord delivered you into my hands today, but I would not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. As surely as I valued your life today, so may the Lord value my life and deliver me from all trouble. And Saul said to David, May you be blessed, David, my son. You will do great things and surely triumph. So David went on his way and Saul returned home. But David thought to himself, One of these days, I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. So David and the 600 men with him left and went over to Achish, son of Maok, king of Gath. David and his men settled in Gath with Achish. Each man had his family with him, and David had his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, the widow of Nabal. When Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, he no longer searched for him. And David said to Achish, If I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be assigned to me in one of the country towns, that I may live there. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you? So on that day Achish gave him Ziklag, and it has belonged to the kings of Judah ever since. David lived in Philistine territory 1 year and 4 months. Now David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites, the Gerizzites, and the Amalekites. From ancient times these people had lived in the land extending to Shur and Egypt. Whenever David attacked an area, he did not leave a man or woman alive, but took sheep and cattle, donkeys and camels and clothes. Then he returned to Achish. When Achish asked, Where did you go raiding today? David would say, Against the Negev of Judah, or against the Negev of Jeremiel, or against the Negev of the Kenites. He did not leave a man or woman alive to be brought to Gath, for he thought, They might inform on us and say, This is what David did. And such was his practice as long as he lived in Philistine territory. Achish trusted David and said to himself, He has become so obnoxious to his people, the Israelites, that he will be my servant for life. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, You must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army. David said, Then you will see for yourself what your servant can do. Achish replied, Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her. There is one in Endor, they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. Consult a spirit for me, he said, and bring up for me the one I name. But the woman said to him, Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death? Saul swore to her by the Lord, As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this. Then the woman asked, Whom shall I bring up for you? Bring up Samuel, he said. When the woman saw Samuel, She cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. And Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I am in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has departed from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams. So I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines." Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day and all that night. When the woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, "Look, your servant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do. Now please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so you may eat and have the strength to go on your way." He refused and said, "I will not eat." But his men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground and sat on the couch. The woman had a fattened calf at the house, which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneaded it, and baked bread without yeast. Then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate. That same night they got up and left. John 11, 1 through 54. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation." Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the people of Judea. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the wilderness, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 15, 22 and 23. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. Okay, so these enmeshed stories of the king of Israel, King Saul, Israel's first monarch, and then this man, David, who grew from a boy into a man on the run as a fugitive, also as a national celebrity for killing the giant Goliath. David's story is a fascinating one indeed. Their stories are enmeshed and they are nearing their conclusion. And they have been walking completely different paths, if we hadn't noticed. Saul continues to show us like what rampant paranoia, what the complete fear of man, what like a performance-driven life where a person is just performing their life, conforming what they appear to be based on what they think people want, but it's not truly who they are. And how that alters identity so that there isn't one, so that the person's a shapeshifter in every situation. There's nothing really there. And how that unnerves things. How King Saul has done some incredibly awful, evil things in this state of fearing, looking weak in front of everybody, now looking like a king. So we see these divergent paths pretty clear today. Even though David had spared Saul's life, and Saul had repented of his continued attempt to assassinate David, like this didn't, the uneasy peace didn't last. David never was going to feel secure. He always had to live hypervigilance anywhere in Israel, and he could not return to the king's household. So instead, he continued to move around, and when Saul heard he was camped in the wilderness of Ziph, he gathered his men again, and they came to overwhelm David and, well, kill him, snuff out his life. So David had to be, first he had to become, and then he had to be like a cunning warrior. He was forced. This is the only way he stayed alive. So David received word, he scouted out Saul's encampment. He spotted the king asleep. He spotted the general next to him and all of the men around him, putting the king in the circle to protect him. And with the assistance of a man named Abishai, which is one of David's own elite warriors, somehow David snuck into the camp stealthily like a ninja and penetrated the ring of warriors around the king without waking anybody up, without detection, and takes the king's spear and his water jug. That would have been the end of the king again, right? He could have killed him right there, and that would have been the end of the king. Instead, he took these items and got back out of the camp undetected. And when they reached a safe distance, that's when David calls to the king. Well, David completely embarrassed the king and humiliated Abner, the general, and embarrassed the entire army, because it's pretty clear that the king and they could be dead right now. They could have never woken up from their slumber ever again. So David is explaining, like, he has no ill will toward the king. He would not touch the king. He doesn't want anything to do with this. He's not after the king. Why is the king after him? And Saul repents again for the second time, vows to leave him alone. But now David is a warrior, is hyper-vigilant for his own life, and he knows that that won't last. Someday Saul's going to get me, he thinks. And that propels a decision to defect from Israel and swear allegiance to the Philistines and King Achish of Gath, which, you know, Saul's not chasing David into Philistine territory. So David becomes a Philistine. And King Achish gives David and his 600 men and their families a city called Ziklag. But they were expected to honor their allegiance to the Philistines, and including fighting in their battles, even if that meant fighting against Israel. And it wasn't long before that is how things have shaped up. Ziklag, incidentally, is an archaeological place, a mound. It's in Israel. It is very remote to get to. You'd need a four-wheel drive to get to it. But it has been discovered and some excavations have been done. I would expect that if you are using the 2.0 Daily Audio Bible app, that being able to see Ziklag would be something that you'd be able to see today in today's reading, the film for Ziklag in today's reading. So be sure to check that out. So the Philistines end up assembling for battle way far from Ziklag. They are way up in the Jezreel Valley, way up near the Sea of Galilee. Very, very far from where Ziklag is. I'm going to... 100 miles? I'm just going to ballpark it. 100 miles, no car, right? So they're a good distance away where this is all shaping up. But they are expected to go into battle. And so David and his men assemble with the Philistines. King Saul, on the other hand, on the other side, on Mount Gilboa, is freaking out. He's asking God what to do. God has nothing to say to him, which leads Saul to hammer the final nail into his own coffin. And under the cover of darkness, Saul seeks a medium to conjure up the prophet Samuel for direction. And Samuel comes forth. Why have you disturbed me by calling me back? Saul says, I'm in deep trouble. The Philistines are at war with me. God left me. No prophet, no dream. I don't know what to do. I called for you to tell me what to do. And Samuel's like, why ask me? Why? How am I going to tell you what to do? The Lord's left you. How am I going to tell you what to do? The Lord did what he said he was going to do. He tore the kingdom from you and gave it to your rival David. And what's more, the army of Israel will be handed over to the Philistines in battle tomorrow, and you and your sons will be here in death with me. The Lord will bring down the entire army in defeat. Whew. So that obviously, you know, Saul, he just kind of falls down under the weight of all that. So we follow this story of Saul throughout his entire reign. And we've seen in clear detail what the unrestrained fear of others can lead to. The insecurity and the choices that it can lead to. These insecurities that we try to keep in check. These are capable, if they are unrestrained, of completely undermining our lives and leading us into complete destruction, which we are watching King Saul do. Saul's story has offered a clear picture of just how dangerous, just how poisonous our fear and insecurity can become. And as we near the conclusion of our time with Saul, let's invite the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Truth, to show us how this poison the poison of unrestrained insecurity have affected our own story and relationships. So we invite you into that. Holy Spirit, come, we invite you into that. Lead us into all truth. What have we given permission to speak to our identity? Who have we given that authority to? How are we arriving at giving this authority when you are the one that calls us by name and calls us your child? Why would we look to anything less to tell us who we are? Why are we doing that? Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Peaceful in Pennsylvania. My heart goes out to the lady who didn't identify herself, that she said she's hopeless, and she's in New Mexico. She says that she has like no hope with regard to her marriage or what to do with her kids. She hasn't been hearing the Lord, she says, in prayer. And I really get that. Like when we're so distressed, sometimes we feel far away from God, but the Lord is close to the oppressed. That's in the Bible. Don't remember what the address is, but the Lord is close to those who are oppressed. Let's pray for this lovely lady. Lord, I thank you, God, for her. Lord, just give her hope. Renew her hope. Touch her heart. Let your presence be revealed in her life. Help her to know that she isn't walking this alone. You're right beside her in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I'm listening and praying to all your prayer requests. Have a great day. Bye.
This is for Valerie, who lost her son. Valerie, I still, even now, as I've been thinking, I just don't feel like I have the right words at all for you. God, I just ask you, please, to send your presence so full and real to Valerie that it will just pierce through this darkness, Lord God, that she can just cling to you. Valerie, I wanted to read you Psalm 102, a prayer of an afflicted man when he's faint and pours out his lament before the Lord. But I didn't have time to record all of it. But as I just read through this, I can just sort of like think of maybe sort of what it would feel like to just have that heart cry, that just arrow through the heart that you're feeling. And I'm so sorry that that is what you're going through. God, please send her some relief. Just let her feel you. Just rip open the curtains, God, and let the light in for her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, DAB family. This is Emily in Minnesota, and I am calling just to pray for Valerie Brickman. You called in regarding beautiful Ben, and I was able to look him up, and what a treasure you have in your heart and in your memory. And I just want to lift you up. This is Joey's mom, and my son Joey passed away in 2019 at the age of 19. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just lift up Valerie in her grief and in her mourning. And Lord, I just pray that you would comfort her just with the groaning that she has, that we have as bereaved mothers, Lord. Our hearts have a deep wound, and it's so hard for others to understand, Lord. And I just pray that you would bring individuals into her life who are just present for the grief and are just there to support, not fix, and just to help come alongside her and just be that presence that you desire for her, Lord. I just pray that you would continue to be with her in just all of the emotions and all the days, all the special days that come and go and how hard those are, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that there would be unexpected blessings that would be so clear that they are from you. And just use that to show her that you are there, Lord. In your name, amen.
Hey, everyone. It's Susan from Canada, God's Yellow Flower, and Pray with Sparky for me. With me. Heavenly Father, we come before your holy throne with Sparky on our hearts. He has been such a brother to us, faithful minister of your word for so many years, and I pray, Lord God, that you would help him overcome the obstacles he's facing right now. Sometimes life can be overwhelming. It can be all-consuming. It can be so hard to organize and prioritize properly, Lord, and I pray, Heavenly Father, you would help him with that, that he would see you are the priority no matter what. His walk with you is a priority. His marriage is a priority. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help him to navigate all what's going on in his life in a godly fashion. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey, my DAB family. This is Abiding Rose in Utah. And I just wanted to let you all know that I was one of the very blessed ones that were able to take advantage of getting the one-year Wind Farm coffee subscription. I've been had been ordering it here and there because I love coffee and I love Wind Farm coffee. And Friday, I received my 2-pound bag of Wind Farm coffee and my Marigold clean canteen cup, and it couldn't have come at such a better time. When I opened up the package, it was like getting a present from my family. It just meant so much to me, and I don't know about the rest of you, but you know, with the times that we're living in and family relationships, oh gosh, what do I say? Adult children, seeing grandchildren grow up, having health problems, issues, getting older. God is so good. I just want to say God is so good. And I'm so, so very grateful to be a part of this beautiful, beautiful, incredible community and family. And I love how Brian says when you call in, well done, well done. Just call in and thank you. And it is truly such a family. So once again, I'm just going to say that I love all of you so much. I pray for each and every prayer request on DAB, on DABC. Gotten so looking forward to Ezekiel on DAB Kids. And
Shalom, shalom, Daily Early Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. Oh, praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is May 17th already. Butterfly from Bakersfield called in and would like us to pray for her son. He got out of jail, but he's having a hard time trying to find a place to live. He was sent out of a couple of homeless shelters. So we're going to lift him up, Lord, and pray. He finds a place to stay and he gets his life turned around. She also would like us to pray for her daughter, lost son Jackson, and then also that she is having some health issues. So Lord, please be with Butterfly from Bakersfield and her family, her son and her daughter. Please be with her and praise and give her glory. Alaska mom called in, would like us to pray for her son and the family business. She talked with him and hopefully everything worked out going forward, Lord. We pray that you will be with them. From Junk to Treasure called in, daughter Pancho saw an eye doctor and he is stating that she will not regain her sight. Lord, we pray that you would be with them, and if it is your will, you would touch Pancho and heal her eyesight. She also had words with her son. So Lord, we just pray that you'd be with Junk to Treasure. She calls in so often to pray for us, and then we want to lift her up to you. Debbie called in, adopted daughter Ariel is a police officer, just asking for faith and has not spoken to her in a while. So Lord, we ask that you be in that situation as well. And we lift this all up to our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And God bless.